So let's
Ravashi Lerava, right?
Yeah, so we're down at the bottom, Amar Ravashi Lerava, but let's catch up where we are. Let's reorient ourselves. For those who don't remember the exact back and forth from yesterday, like myself, not a joke.
No, I'm the same way. I don't remember.
Yeah. So basically, we had concluded, so to say, the Rav Yosef and Rabbah machlokas about putting it up on the mizbeach, taking it down from the mizbeach, and that type of similar discussion. And the various things that came out of that. So we're going to leave that. The final note, though, that we had from yesterday, right, was that Rabbi Lazar asked a similar question about Olas Bamas Yachid. If the Ola was intended for a Bama and ended up in the Bamas Tibur, what's the halacha there? Do you have to take it down or not? And we went through all the possibilities of why he might ask this question, whether it might be presuming an answer to our original question or not. The conclusion was it's not presuming an answer to our original question, and we do not know which one he follows. Ultimately, just a quick reminder, by the way, the teku here does not mean the Gemara doesn't have a concluding opinion. The Gemara stated very clearly on the previous page that tiyuvta deraba tiyuvta, that Rabba was incorrect and Rabbi Yosef was correct in that first case. The Gemara is not expressing an opinion on the second case. Okay? So let's just be clear. Then we started with Rav Gidal Amar Rav, about close to halfway down. Rav Gidal made a comment that, again, was very hard to understand. He said, Zrikat Pigul. Okay, the sprinkling of pigul, which we understood parashi, means when you both slaughtered and sprinkled the blood with a thought of eating it outside the correct time, outside the correct place, again, depending on whether or not you want kares. We're open to that for those who are interested. So anyways, that's what Rav Gidal Amarav says. And again, we read the entire Gemara, and we will continue to attempt to read the Gemara according to the opinion of Rashi that is talking about, in order to, okay, Zrikat pigul eno motzi midei me'ila b'kodshei kadashim v'eno mevi lidei me'ila b'kodshim kalim. Okay, again, just to reorient ourselves, the Mishnah had said that pigul, slaughtering with pigul, and in general it seems the status of pigul, does not remove me'ila. And all that Rav Gidal is adding is that this is referring to Zrikat Pigul, whatever that means. And again, what we're saying it means is when there is an additional Pigul thought during the process of Zrikat Hadam, it seems that essentially what Rav Gidal is saying then is that the additional Pigul thought that you have during Zrika, as we're going to see today, hopefully, is what makes it proper regular Pigul, which would not take it out from Me'ilah in Kodshei Kadashim, and would not bring it into Me'ilah necessarily, well, maybe in Kodshim Kalim. Okay, but that's the idea. Whatever the Zrikas Pigul is, it accomplishes, okay, the fact that you're sprinkling the blood with a Machshav, Achutz Lizmano, Achutz Lemkomo, that accomplishes that it does not change the status of the Korban at hand in regards to Me'ilah. Now, yesterday we said Abaye was sitting around saying this, and her Papa's like, hey, we have a Mishnah about a Torah that seems to indicate otherwise. The Mishnah tells us that in a number of cases, okay, lo kidesh halechem, the bread did not become sanctified. However, shachta chutz lizmana v'chutz limkoma, kidesh halechem. That in the case where you, it seems to be, simply slaughtered it, chutz lizmana, and it doesn't express an opinion about what happened during the sprinkling, about what happened during the zrika, then kidesh alechem, and kidesh alechem means the bread became sanctified, therefore would have me'ila. So what's going on here? And Abaye didn't know what to answer. But when he came to Rabbi Abba told him, no, you totally misunderstood this. The reason why the bread became holy in the case of, again, the shechita, chutz lizman, or chutz lemkoma, is because you didn't do anything during Zrika. But had you also had a pigul thought during Zrika, that would not be the case. It would retain its original status. Okay? It's only because it's like a partial pigul. Of non-me'ila. Okay, we're talking about the implication of me'ila. The point is that if you would have a full-fledged pigul, right, if you would have a full-fledged pigul, meaning you also had a pigul thought during the Zrika, then it would remain in its original status. It would never even become holy in the case of Kodshim Kalim, whereas the same thing would be true, would not leave its holiness from Kodshei Kadashim. But again, he says, in Zrika, you need to also have that thought if you want it to remain in its original status.
See, the problem that I see here is obviously the issue of all the indiscretions comes mm-hmm. after the fact. In other words, they don't realize the original pickle could till after the second pickle.
We are going to address that today, yeah, God willing.
Because the original pickle is pickle, you got to burn it, and there's the immediate
right.
problem is, you know, that's...
Right, we'll address okay. that. The Gemara okay. has on the next
okay.
page,
right.
You see the words tigli milsa.
Okay.
It's baruch shekivanta.
Yeah.
You can make a bracha.
Yeah, okay.
So the bottom line is, again, the last thing we said was that in order for it to retain its original me'ila status, there needs to be, according to Rashi, pigel both in the Shechita and in the Zrika. Everyone good with that?
Yep.
Okay, that's where we're up to.
Just before you go on, if I recall correctly, the term pigel referred to some kind of inappropriate thought. Was that?
That's correct, right? So we've been talking about when one had a thought to eat.
Eat it the next day.
When one thought to eat it in the inappropriate time frame, or in one thought to eat it in a place which is inappropriate, both of those render the korban what's called pigel. Again, how exactly you translate pigel is a better question.
Unacceptable, basically.
But yeah. Right. Yeah. I remember when I learned about it as a little kid, you'd always think it sounded like pickle.
Yeah, that's a pig.
Oh, that's a much better one.
Yeah.
I should use that one. Yeah. See, in chemistry, I collect all these little anecdotes, and then I use them on my students the next year when a kid comes up with something sharp. I never do that. I don't do that as much with Torah. I do. I mean, obviously, you do it a little bit with Torah.
Yeah.
But with chemistry, it's like a conscious effort. With Torah, it's just I remember those. Oh, that's a good idea, right? The ola goes up. Same idea.
Yeah.
The ola goes up. Piggle sounds like pig.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a little piggle.
Yeah.
I got it. Okay.
Piglet. Yeah.
Okay, let's continue. So at this stage, again, we've established that according to Rashi, according to Rav Gidal Amar Rav, in order for something to be rendered full-fledged pigel, which will make it retain its original mi'ila status, whatever that was, you need pigel during both. Let's continue. Now we're going to ask a question that I had a very hard time with. Like I said yesterday, Gemara gave me a very hard time. I'm still not 100% sure of everything that I'm going to say, like every day, but I figured out why this particular Gemara bothered me. So here we go. Says the Gemara, Amar le Rav Ashi le Rava. Rav Ashi said to Rava, we've got a problem. Via Amar Ula, but Ula, again, an earlier authority, said, Kometz Pigul, Shehe Elo Legabe Mizbeach. If you had a Mincha, so a Korban Mincha, very, very brief introduction over here. Okay, korban mincha is what we call a flour offering, and has basically a meal offering. It does not have an animal that we are slaughtering here. It's simply flour and whatever other ingredients, oil, spices, etc. And the way that you start with it is you do something called kemitza. Anybody remember what kemitza is?
Yeah, you have to take the flour
right?
in the hand. Not
flour in the hand, exactly.
It can't be O2.
Exactly.
It can't be too much. If it's too much, it's not good. If it's too
right.
little, it's not going to be the
okay,
exact
so
amount.
Right. So we're familiar with kemitza, which is basically the and
process, right.
What do you do with that kemitza?
I'm trying. Oh, boy, mental block.
I can't remember. You have to put it in the pan?
You have to add oil, I think, too.
Don't remember.
Yeah, you burn it on the Mizbeach, basically.
Ultimately, you burn it, yeah.
Yes, ultimately you burn it on the Mizbeach. Again, what happens exactly in between, I'm not testing you on the entire process,
yeah.
Nor would I ask that you test me on the entire process. Bottom line is, however, okay, so this kmitza is very, very critical.
Again, you have to have the right thing in your mind, and so does the coin.
Right, so this kmitza is very, very critical to the process of the Korban Mincha, similar to, as we're going to see, how Shechita is very critical to the process of bringing an animal sacrifice. So, Amar Ula, Kometz Pigel. If you had a Kometz, and again, you thought a thought of Pigel, that's how it's being explained over here, and you thought about it during the process of Kmitza, and you thought, I'm going to eat this Chutz L'Zman, Chutz L'Mkom, whatever the case was, Shehe'elo Legabe Mizbeach, which you brought onto the Mizbeach, Paka Pigulo Mimenu. Its Pigel has gone from it.
It's already valid. A valid pigle.
Sorry?
It says that the the pigle is already valid because by the time you got to the mizbech, it's pigle.
Okay.
It's completed.
So what's paka pigulo mimenu? What's paka?
It hit. The pigle hit it already, touched it, right? So he says, "Mashma shekvar chol bo pasul pigul bishata kmitza."
No. So, it's saying paka pigul. Let's clarify that. That's not how I understood it. Maybe there's a different opinion that I didn't see. But I believe what the words paka pigul omimenu means the pigul leaves it. The pigul is removed from it once you put it on mizbeach. How does the English Ars Pro say it?
It's removed.
Yeah. So I think there's an implication, however, similar to what you were saying.
Yeah.
The implication is that if it can be, quote-unquote, removed by the time it's reached the Mizbeach, that means it was a full-fledged pigul when? Only because of what you thought at the time of the Kmitza. Okay?
Yeah.
Clear?
Sorry.
One more time.
If I may just clarify, we just said a couple of minutes ago. Just said a couple of minutes ago that pigul in some kind of erroneous form in terms of playful acts, right?
So right. What
you understand is how can an action of placing it one way or another ameliorate that form? We just said a moment ago that somebody had an inappropriate thought as to what to do with it. Now we're saying that depending on where you place it, that ameliorates the thought.
So that's a really good question.
I just don't understand how somebody placing it in X spot or Y spot ameliorates that thought. I don't understand that.
Excellent.
He says that this is after Haktara. It's when you do the Ketoret on it, then it's Nifka. That's what
correct.
The note here says.
Okay, so... So ultimately, let me try to put everything together here, okay? Right. Let's clarify the case. We'll clarify Jonathan's question. We'll try to answer Jonathan's question, and then we'll get to what's bothering me. What you mentioned very briefly was what's bothering me, but let me explain what's going on. Okay, so the bottom line is, we have an implication from what Ula said, that Ula makes the following statement. If you had a Korban Mincha, and during the process of Kmitza, the Kohen had a pigle inappropriate thought about eating it chutz l'zman or chutz l'mkomo, and then it subsequently ended up having some process done to it on the Mizbeach, whatever that process was, let's leave that a little bit vague for now.
Okay.
The pigle leaves.
Right.
Okay. It is unpiggled. Jonathan's question was, what do you mean? How do you unpiggle something? The whole Gemara we've just been talking about is, if you have this inappropriate thought, then the Korban is no good. So how does unpiggling happen?
Okay.
What exactly is that the case? Now, to answer this question, I want to make reference to the note that you said, and to essentially what was bothering me. What we are lacking here, right?
Mm-hmm.
What we are lacking here is a proper analog to a regular korban. The Gemara is asking the question because, as we said, ukmitza hainu shchita. Kmitza is equivalent to shchita. But what we don't see in the Gemara is a clear analog to zrika. This is, I think, what's causing the confusion here. What is the zrika, quote-unquote, of a korban mincha? Okay? And if we're talking about it being the haktara, the burning, well, we have an analog to burning for a regular korban, which is when you put it up on the mizbeach to be burnt. This is what I think causes a lot of the confusion, is because we don't have a clear one-to-one in terms of the steps. That being said, we do have the idea, and paka pigulo, okay, can depend, and I think this is to the beginning of an answer to the excellent question that was asked, which is, as we saw in the earlier case, when you have the inappropriate thought during one part of it, but not during another part of it, sometimes that can almost correct it. Just like we've had a discussion of what if you had the pigul thought during shchita, but not during the sprinkling of the blood, the same thing may be said of the korban mincha. Performing it, right? And the idea is, right, when it says she'elo legabe mizbeach, it doesn't mean that you're trying to get like a kapara, forgiveness for doing pigul, so you bring it to the mizbeach and you say, here Hashem, forgive my pigul. We're talking about where you continued the process of the korban, presumably without thoughts of pigul.
That's the key word, by the way.
Okay? Without thoughts of pigul. You continued the process and you didn't have a pigul thought. Which essentially, by the way, is the Gemara's whole question. The Gemara's question is, therefore, we see that only our Shechita analog is what causes full-fledged pigul, and that can be undone only by a much later stage. The point is, it seems, that for an animal sacrifice, you would not need to have Zrika in order to render the animal pigul. You would not need to have Zrika be pigul, in which case this is once again a question on Rav Gidal, as explained by Rashi. Is it able to give you or not? Is it able to change the status of the Me'ilah or not? Why? Because we see the pigul, and again, there are multiple ways that you can ask this question, but the bottom line is, right, if you read this last line of Rashi here, right, Hachinami, okay, or even better. No, so if you see five lines up from the bottom, the last word on the line of Rashi, okay, Dehechi, where there's a little asterisk right before it. It's five lines up from the bottom. Okay? Last word on the line in Rashi is Dehechi. That's where we're reading.
Yeah.
Okay? The last, and this is on Gimel Amud Beis still. Dehechi dikava pigul bikmitza lechuda. Just as pigul was established simply through the kmitza, only through the kmitza, full-fledged pigul was established. Hachinami here too, mikba pigul bishchita lechuda. Pigul can be accomplished simply by the thought you had during shchita. Alma, we see this implies de bishchita lechuda have a pigul gamur, that it would be an absolute pigul even just for shchita. Vikatani kidesh halachem, and we see that in this case the bread is sanctified. Shemevia lidei meila, which would bring it to meila. Alma de pigul maisi kachim lidei meila, which then means that pigul brings kachim to meila. V'kashil Rav Gidal, and this is against Rav Gidal. Okay. Bottom line is, again, we are simply either you can ask this as a direct question on Rav Gidal, which is the way I was reading it. Rashi's asking it as a follow up question to the answer of Rabbi Abba. Right, Rabbi Abba said, it's the Zrika that makes it pigul, and we're saying, no, it's not the Zrika. It's clearly the Shechita. How do I know? Because in the analogous case of a Korban Mincha, it's the Kmitza that makes it pigul. Good?
Right. So the key words which we overlook basically was the Elu al Gabay HaMizbeach, which means that they already added the Ketoret.
Right. So again, there was an additional step in which there was not.
That's right.
Okay? Yeah. And by the way, that's essentially... That's essentially, it gets closer again to what you mentioned at the beginning of multiple steps being able to tell us whether something earlier happened.
Right,
but the Gemara answers this, Amar Lei, with an answer again that's a little bit hard to understand. I'm going to do my best with it. Amar Lei said to him, he answered him, no, that's not what it means. Okay? Mm-hmm. What does it mean, paka pigulomi menu? We were assuming, right, the key to the question according to Rashi was, that this was a full-fledged pigul even just from the time of Kmitza, right? That's the entire question. The entire question on Rav Gidal is the presumption that there is a full-fledged pigul just by doing Kmitza. Correct? Everyone, is that premise? Everyone realizes that premise? Again, the whole idea was that we were asking a question on the answer of Rabbi Abba or indirectly on Rav Gidal, whichever way you want to put it, it's the same thing, that they were of the opinion that it needs to be double pigled, meaning pigled in Shechita and pigled in the Zrikat Hadam, in order for it to be a full-fledged pigle and to not change the status of Me'ilah. And we were saying it seems to imply otherwise from this case of Kmitza. So their answer is, no, it doesn't. Amar Lehi said to him, Isura demaiti lidei pigle. When it says, paka pigulo mimenu, that the pigle leaves it, it doesn't mean that we reached 100% pigle level and now is going down to zero pigul level. What does it actually mean? It means you did a prohibition which would lead to pigul if you would continue the entire process in that way. Okay? Isura.
It's still remediable.
Correct. Through these following acts. And it would only be full-fledged pigul were you to continue in the process. Correct. Right, and again, let's look at Rashi inside, just so you can see the way Rashi explained this in his own words. Right, Amar Lei. We'll read the whole Rashi. It's not that long. It's 2.5 lines. The final Rashi on the page, Okay, third to last line. It's 2.5 lines of Rashi on Gimel Amud Beis. Let's read how Rashi explains this answer of Isura Demaiti L'Dei Pigel. Amrli Mehacha Lo Tikshile. From here, you shouldn't ask on him. Demaidik Amar Kometz Pigel. That which it said, Kometz Pigel. Lo Amar Dibik Mitza Lechuda Have Pigel. It doesn't say, again, like you said, the key points, that simply by doing kmitza it's a full-fledged pigle. Elamai kometz pigle. What does it mean, kometz pigle? What makes it pigle? Isura demaisi, or demaisia, lidei pigle. It's where you performed a prohibition, where, again, your inappropriate thought will cause it to become pigle later on. Shehitchil lefagel bikmitza. Okay? That he began to have a thought of pigul when he actually took the kmitza. Dehainu tchilat pigul, the beginning of pigul. However, what would Rav Gidal tell you? Avaloha ve pigul gamur ade pagel nami behaktara. It would not be a full-fledged pigul until you had the same thought when you were actually burning it. Vehu hadin lishchita, and the same laws would apply to a regular animal sacrifice for shchita. Havietchilat isur pigol. The slaughtering is simply the beginning of the pigol process. Velo have pigol gamur. Shelo pagal ela bishkita lechuda. Okay, it would not be a full fledged pigol if you only did it for the shkita. V'hai damar of gidal eno mevil dem ila hainu lemisha pigol bizrikak amar. Okay, you need, again, in order to get full-fledged pigle, you need step number 2 to have pigle as well, which in the case of korbanot is zrika, and this resolves the question. Okay? Yeah. Now, the Gemara asks another question, which will probably be one of the simpler questions, although it requires, again, a lot of background. Not yet, the next part will require some background. V'haketani, oh, asks the Gemara, but we've got another question. It literally says there, im acherim mevili de pigul hu atzmo lo kol shekein. Okay, but it says that if others, the kmitza can bring to pigul, meaning the kmitza is only a small portion of the korban mincha that's taken off. Says the Gemara over there, if the kmitza can bring the other parts of the korban mincha to pigul, should it not certainly bring itself to pigul? Meaning there is for sure a pigul status on the kmitza itself. The Gemara's thought is at this point that maybe it's true that the rest of the Korban Mincha might only have pigul when you do the, again, like Rashi did, when you do the haktara, the burning of it. However, what about the actual kometz itself? Maybe that, even from the time of kmitza, becomes full-fledged pigul. Maybe. Meaning, and this would also serve to say that analogous case would be the slaughtering of the animal would render it fully pigul. Okay? Answers the Gemara, right? Again, imachirim vaketani, but we learned imachirim mevili de pigul if it brings other things, again, the other parts of the korban, meaning the flour in that case. Hu atzmolo kol shekein would certainly not bring itself to pigul. Answers the Gemara, hanami isura demaiti lide pigul. Just because it uses the word pigul again, says our Gemara, doesn't mean it means anything different than the first time. Rav Gidal is interpreting these Mishnayot and these Memrot to say that you need the second stage. And when we say it creates pigul, we mean it is the initial and the critical step of pigul, but ultimately does not create full-fledged pigul until all of the process is done in a pigul thought.
It's necessary but not sufficient.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. We're recapping Rav Gidal. That's exactly the point. Necessary and not sufficient. Okay.
So if they take the second step, then it removes the pigul. This is what he did.
No. That's why I said this is confusing. The second step creates full-fledged pigul. The third step removes pigul.
That's the third step. Is
which
what?
Is a chiddush.
After the haktara.
Is like is the haktara on the mizbeach.
That's the third step.
Yes. There's the haktara of the komets and bringing the entire thing, I think, up is what's pakapi gulom
imenu. They have to add to the flour. There's a step in between.
Correct. There's other steps. But bottom line is, I'm just differentiating because, again, I said what's very confusing is for the korban, step number 3, so to say, is bringing the imurim on the mizbeach and burning them, whereas for the korban mincha, there's the komets, the haktara of the komets, followed by bringing the rest of it up onto the mizbeach.
Okay.
Okay, so it's... And that's... seems to be special for the Korban Mincha, that that's Paka Pigulo Mimenu when you bring it up onto the Mizbeach.
Got it.
Okay, but that's, I think, the key confusing point is that, again, we don't have a clear... We do have a clear analogy, just the analogy of one step in one happens to be another step of the same process. Okay? If you didn't get that and you weren't confused to begin with, so ignore it.
Well, because it's
not Gemara's critical to understanding the Gemara as well.
Gemara assumes that you know all these steps. That's the point.
Yes.
They do assume.
Yes. Right. Yes. But the point is, okay, bottom line to take away from here of what we've done today so far, and I know we've done a remarkably small number of lines.
It's okay.
It doesn't bother me in the slightest.
Doesn't bother us either.
I'll tell you the bottom line, then I'll tell you a great line from my Rebbe. The bottom line is, at this point, we still are defending the opinion of Rav Gidel that in order to make something piggle, you need a double piggle.
Yeah, right.
Okay, two first steps.
According to Rashi.
Okay, according to Rashi, again, according to Tosfot would be opposite, but we got to stick with one and be able to explain the whole Gemara. If you'd like to go back, I'm happy, by the way. Tosfot in some places is a lot easier to explain than Rashi. In some of these questions, you have no idea what Rashi is saying, and I sat and cracked my head over it, and again, still not sure how successful I was. But ultimately, again, that's the opinion of Rav Gidal. The questions on Rav Gidal are presupposing that only one step can make it piggle, and then a second step of some sort, again, might allow it to be removed from the laws of Me'ila, because it's not a full-fledged piggle. Yes, a full-fledged piggle. Is that the next? Okay.
Does that apply to a korban of an animal as well?
The general rule does. I'm not sure about this bring it up to Mizbeach takes it away. Again, that's more similar to the Im Alu Yardu, Im Alu Lo Yardu.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It's the same issue, right.
Now, the line is from my Rabbi. So, as we know, a lot of people are very obsessed with covering ground, even at the cost, unfortunately, of understanding. I can tell you I'm not one of those people, but there are people who, you know, you got to do the duff. And
And
it's important to finish it even if you don't understand. And there is value to that, by the way. There is value to... There's many pieces. I remember when I first started teaching Daf Yomi on occasion, and someone very important came over to me and said to me... This was not the story I was planning on telling, but I guess I'll tell the story anyways. He said, I just don't get it. I see people that come to the shir at, you know, 6, 6.30 in the morning, whatever time it was. He's like, and they just walk, and they just, like, fall asleep. And I don't get it. And what are they bothering with? Mm-hmm. And I was like, I can come up with like 5, 6, 7 good values that still come out of that. Even if they are really, really tired and they're coming. Like there's so much good that comes out of that. There's always the educational perspective that their kids know. My father goes out early in the morning to learn. They're showing, right? So chinuch is a very valuable idea. Number two, the idea that they'll feel they were part of completing something big. And it just went on a whole list of things. So there is value to it. However, to me, there is more value in spending that same time as we are doing now, actually trying to understand the words that Chazal told us, that Rashi, Tosfos, the Rishonim, the Achronim. But anyways, so a lot of people are very bothered by this. Well, what do you mean you finished, you know, like one line, two lines, say 7 lines? And you learned for an hour. Well, what kind of accomplishment is that? That's how people sometimes feel. And it's a big challenge. So first of all, my Rebbe suggested instituting a program called Shura Yomit, which was to learn one line a day properly, as opposed to learning Daf Yomi, which is a full page, which, again, in half an hour, 45 minutes, is a little rushed for some. So he suggested Shura Yomit, and someone once came to him and said, how could it be that in your yeshiva, he told the story of another gadol, I don't remember who, I can look it up in his book, he's a book of stories, but he says, someone said to him, how come in your yeshiva they only finish X amount of daf. He says, I don't think you understand. A daf of Rashi is also a daf. A daf of Tosfos is also a daf. A daf of Ritva is also a daf. A daf of Rashba is also a daf. When you do something in depth, you're gaining just as much knowledge as the person who's rushing through. So for example, we're about now, and we'll conclude with this. We've got 5 more minutes, so I'll give you an introduction to the next part of the Gemara. We're about to get a whole education. How many other Gemaras have we quoted? How many other concepts did we quote today? Whereas if you're going through it quickly, you don't get that same knowledge.
Sure.
So we've covered both depth and breadth. But that was his response. Anyways, if anybody wants to join me on my Shura Yomit journey, then let me know.
We don't mind. I want to tell you, just to put myself into personally, I didn't go to the Daf Yomi when I was at the Bayit, because you weren't allowed to ask questions.
Yes.
You had to finish the Daf.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Stop going.
Yeah, but again, but that, that reason, that's very valuable for many people still. Yeah. That's, but yes.
So as I can say, I go to the Daf Yomi. It's a drasha. I don't get anything out of it, but I go to the
There are many people that get, listen, I had people when I was giving the Daf Yomi there, I can say specifically about the Bayit Daf Yomi, because that's the only one I've given. I went back to look. I'm starting a Gemara Shiur this Thursday night in Thornhill, so I went back to look. All the people that had corresponded with about Gemara when I was at the Bayit. And some of the people in the Daf Yomi, it's unbelievable how much effort and how much time they put into it over the course of the day and how many detailed questions. And I have, from when I was at Kollel, an email. Can I please call you at lunchtime for you to re-explain me this concept? Can I please? Like, there are many, many people that do it,
that
do it properly. And again, even those who quote-unquote just sit through it, there's value to that too.
Don't make any assumptions.
Yeah, let's go.
I may not have gone through Shas, but Shas has gone through me. Okay, that's not true about me, by the way. Okay, I have not gone through Shas, and I don't think Shas has gone through me either. Amar le Ravina le Rav Ashi. Okay, again, another question. Ravina says to Rav Ashi, Amar Ilfa, and here's the background that we'll give, and we'll really just reread these words next time. Okay, basically, the question is, Pigul in general, if you have conflicting thoughts, what defines a step for Pigul? Okay, that's really going to be the next stage. You'll see here referenced two avodos kigon shochet siman rishon siman sheni. So basically, when it comes to slaughter, we believe that you should be slaughtering two openings in the animal's neck. What are they?
Yeah, it's
the two simanim.
Esophagus.
Okay, the trachea and the esophagus. I'm trying to remember if it was one of the carotid artery also.
Maybe. That's what kills it. But.
Yes. Anyways.
But it should be done at one time, together.
But that's what has to happen, correct, right, during Shkita.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, what you have over here is, and I'm trying to see if it's in Rashi. Here we are. Okay? There is a... Okay, so there's a machlokas in Perek Kol HaSvachim, okay?
Yeah.
That there's a machloket between Rabbi Huda and the Rabbanan, and let's read this Rashi inside. We'll start with it. You see the words machloket v'chule? It's four lines from the bottom of the Gemara move into Rashi. So go to the bottom of the Gemara, count up four lines. We're now on Dalet Amud Aleph on 4a. Count up four lines and move into Rashi. Okay, so there's a Mishnah in Zvachim. Everyone see machloket v'chule? There's a Yud Aleph in the middle of those two words. And again, we're in Rashi on the right side of Dalet. Okay, Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, we move four lines up from the bottom of the Gemara and then move sideways into Rashi, jump across a little gap there. Machloket v'chulei. Deka amar Rabbi Yehuda b'matnitin. That Rabbi Yehuda had said in the Mishnah there, im machshevet hazman kadma l'machshevet hamakom. Okay? So we talked about machshevet hazman and machshevet hamakom. Machshevet hazman means when you had in mind to eat it at the wrong time frame, and machshevet hamakom is where you had in mind to eat it in the wrong place. Okay? Im machshevet hazman kadma lemachshevet hamakom. If you had the machshevet hazman first, pigul, it is pigul, v'chayavin alav karet, and you would get karet, because it's like you had a full-fledged thought of eating it in the wrong time. V'im machshevet hamakom kadma lemachshevet hazman. However, if the machshevet hamakom was first, you had in mind to eat it at the wrong place, which, as we says, normally doesn't get karet, and you had that thought first, even though you later thought, machshevet hazman, you're going to eat it at the wrong time, pasul v'ein chayavin aleha karet. Okay, in such a case, it would be pasul, and it would be called pigul, but you would not be liable for karet. De'ikar pigul de'chayavin alav karet havei b'machshevet achila chutz lizman. Okay, as we said many times, at the earlier in the Masechta, that the real karet pigul is only when you have in mind chutz lizmano, and Rabbi Yehuda says if you began with that thought, that's the thought that counts. So if you began with chutz lizmano, you do get karet. You began with chutz lemkomo, you do not get karet. V'chachamim omrim, no. Zev v'zev pasul v'ein chayavin alav karet. And the rabbis, they disagreed and they said no. Their opinion was, in either case of a mixture, when you had one chutz lizmano and one chutz lemkomo, you will not have karet, because you didn't have the full thought of chutz lizmano. Okay? That is the background necessary to begin what Ilfa says.
What did the rabbi say? They said it was okay.
It was okay. It's still pasul, it's still pigul, but no karet.
But no karet.
Meaning
it's still pasul, but no karet.
You get a kenasi.
Yes, meaning we... Pasul here means it has the label of pigul,
okay. But
the consequence is only that the korban must be redone, that the korban's pasul, not that you also get kares. Okay, just like if you did the whole thing chutz lemkomo.
Okay.
Okay, that's really what the Chachamim say. And Ilfa is going to be commenting on this, right? Where's the machlokes, right? And what's the machlokes? And one siman, two siman, and one this, one that. Okay, that's the bottom line, though. The bottom line is this is the background necessary as to what's going on. Again, everyone agrees. A full thought of chutz l'zmano is pigul with kares. A full thought of chuslim komo in the incorrect place is pigul without kares. If you had partial intent like this and partial intent like that, Rabbi Yehuda says it goes after the first thing. Chachamim say it's always going to be pasul, but not karis.
So according to the rabbis,
yeah.
According to the rabbis, then, if you have a thought of zman,
mm-hmm.
and then you immediately follow it, and you don't complete it, you
yes.
immediately follow it, you can negate. I mean, essentially, you've taken away the pickle.
Yes. And the question would be also, what if you change to thinking of the right place in time?
Right.
That would be an even more important question.
Right.
But it's negating the karate of pigle. It's negating the karate of pigle.
Right. So this all presumes that the kohen is self-aware and honest enough to admit what his faults are.
Yes. Like we've said in many other cases, the odds of a lot of these cases happening are very, very slim, like the famous case where you threw the knife and it bounced off the wall and on the way back it slaughtered the animal, or the case of Yibum where the person fell off the roof and managed to do the mitzvah of Yibum. They're highly unlikely, but they allow us to understand the mechanism behind the particular halakha that we're talking about. So is this likely to have happened? I mean, even in general, Machshavet chutz l'zmano chutz l'mkom was not crazy because the Kohanim were bringing all sorts of different korbanot, so maybe they hadn't. But it's a pretty unlikely case because it's something you're careful about, right? Just like on Yom Kippur, mm-hmm. you know, the Kohen Gadol or the Bal Tefila, I should say, is really well aware of what they're doing, and the Bal Tokeah is really well aware of what he's doing. And so, you people focus and they prepare for these things. So the Kohen also, it's not that likely in general, but it helps us understand, again, where exactly is pickle taking place. So that's, I think, the idea.